Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. And this is our 196 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned with their flowing dialogue. And now, or sometimes, we hear from Sharon. I hope you're listening, Sharon, in the background, and that's always great. So let me welcome Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. How am I coming in? Okay.
Oh yeah, you're coming in terrific, and so much better than that telephone interface.
Oh great!
With all the buzzing that thing caused, and I'm having. I was just saying to Michael that I'm having computer troubles. I gave a talk at like a UFO group in Hamilton, New Jersey at the library last Wednesday night. And I'm always afraid to plug my computer into anything, but I guess I was not afraid that night. And I plugged it into a video display that could flash it up on a large screen. And then Thursday morning, when I turned my computer on after that event, it never worked again. It just, the graphics card went. And so Friday, I had my computer cleaned out with dust and things. And the fellow said, "Do you have pets?" "Yeah, I have pets." So maybe that helped the heating up of the graphics card, but when I plugged in that graphics display, it just... So now I'm still trying to work out that problem with the graphics card. He wants me to get another machine, and I like to stay with the machine that I know how to build the website. So I'll be able to post this audio, this recording we make today on the site. The only people who can get to it are people who will know what the address will be there. The MP3 address. I'll try and change my website so I can get that to work also. But we'll have the recording today up there. And computers, you know, sometimes when you say the word computer, many times you have to use the word trouble after it. Computer trouble. So that's what I'm having. But, well, enough of that. Hello, Michael, and hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Well, I guess we could start off with an email from Ted in Pennsylvania. He says, checking in, he says, "Gentlemen, what a wonderful show." He's talking about last week. "What a wonderful show. Hitchhiking, dogs, confirmation of the validity of the Urantia book, Moon Over River, Aqua Vita, to clear the adjuster channel, in moderation, of course, and so much more. The finale with chasing off lost Coney Island tourists and George Harrison, my sweet lord. Laugh, cry, learn something. Who could ask for more? Your... and the Sharon's wonderful discussions continue to be the highlight of my week. Thanks again, Ted." Ted, that's really amazing to say, the highlight of your week. he works in the big city on the East Coast. And yeah. And it's a special part of the city. But that's from Ted, and thank goodness I have another way of seeing my email versus my computer. But Steve writes from Australia. He says, "Hello, Curtis. Just sending a message of support and gratitude from Queensland, Australia, for the work done by you, Michael, and the Sharon. I really hope to sit in a class in the New Jerusalem one day before my time is up. However, many long-standing questions have many times been answered by the wisdom of you and Michael and the dialogue with the Sharon to date. My main life dilemma is a battle with depression. I am a creative person who loves to detune from reality through creating another realm in my illustrations. The problem is I wish sincerely to share it with a world that would only be interested correlating, copying, or destroying it in some way, which is a great source of depression and loneliness for me. My creative abilities are the only meaning my life has, and I do not wish there to be any more meaning. Working in a job has been an anti-meaning for me my whole life, with the not far below the surface greedy and deceitful motives of both employer and fellow workers that is soul-destroying at times. I am a creative spirit who is weary of the world, resorting to reclusion as medicine. Much of human life is frustrating to me. I wish to be in the company of a culture much like the folk in the New Jerusalem, not having a need for money would be a mighty relief. I only ask for your thoughts here, and perhaps the Sharon can offer information about those within their realm who are creative in a similar way. Keep up the good work, guys. From Australia, kind regards, Steve. Well, thank you, Steve. And what do you think, Michael?
I'm Mr. Sharon.
Oh, hello, Sharon.
The dilemma that faces is one in which many people face on your planet. We, however, live in a very special domain, a place where the atmosphere, that which we breathe, move in, and even the chambers that we have for life extension, resurrection, are very, very useful. And such challenges we are not acquainted with. These challenges are one that many times will sway you away from the full development of divinity attainment, soul development. But let me give you some ideas. It is well known among us, as well as perhaps many in your domain, your planet, that your living body needs to commingle with other life, plant life, a walk through the forest, a journey next to running water, moving along the beach on a sunny day. These things will help you discharge the overwhelming problems of a harmful energy charge. One of the things that our chamber uses is light, and light of a special radiance, vibration. But your sun also provides some of that light. Therefore, you have already part of the spectrum necessary to regenerate and overcome such hardships in terms of your battle with life's weight. The more of this dark charge that you obtain, it is one that causes what is known as depression, and that is able to be overcome by the suggestions that I've made. Don't be afraid of moving outside, outdoors. A walk in the park where there are living trees who will exude a life charge. This charge will cause your darkened charge to be released. It's been known for some time on your planet that negative ions are very good. But rather than worry about tricky negative ion generators, a simple thing to do is, as I said, take some time out. Walk near freshly cut grass through a forest just after rain. Stay within the zone of a drizzly rain and you will feel much relief. But if one only follows the path of developing the financial instrument such as money or credit or something that is earned through work in an environment which can cause a heavy load, such an environment is one that has an environmental system, air conditioning perhaps, that can produce a heavy weight. There is also the problem of various other electronics that can produce this heavy weight of a positive charge. Therefore, you can overcome the positive charges that are accumulated through technical work, perhaps, or just work environments by moving into the more natural environments and on a regular basis, and you will find greater relief. This is my suggestion. And you will find also, when you do these things, such as taking a walk in such a close proximity to living plants and forests, you will immediately notice some things about your attitude toward life. For indeed, it is very helpful. This is all I have for now.
Thank you, Sharon. That's it's, I guess it's the fact that you say just go out in nature and just be around your own planet, get away from man-made objects, get out in the rain, listen to the trees, get near negative ions, water, which is all like when you're walking down the street and you see a piece of trash on the ground, just pick it up and toss it away and only have the ground just be all natural. So that's good advice. Thank you. Well, I don't know if Sharon's still on, but we have an email from Wendy in New Zealand. Dear Michael and Curtis, warmest greetings to you and all dear souls sharing in the gift of this blessed platform. Know that you are all deeply loved and valued. Thank you, Wendy. That's really nice. Next paragraph. Michael recently described a vision given to him of a city village nearing completion. My thoughts immediately reflected on a place as described in the Ranchi book, page 598, as some normal planet now in the post-bestowal sun age and not our backward and confused world. I wonder if the Sharon could explain the following. And she has 2 points here. This first point, she says, I simply cannot reconcile the nearing completion as we continue to experience the changing existence on a backward and confused world. I valued my existence on this planet and the wonder of our creator son Michael of Nebadon appearing on Urantia to bestow himself upon our mortal races. Only one world in near 10 million can enjoy such a gift. My opinion, Urantia is a very special planet. And her second part is, in better understanding how we may better serve all souls in the much-needed spiritual transformation of our treasured but backward and confused world, please expand on the spiritual pressure from above, as mentioned on page 598, Spiritual Insight. The quickest way to realize the brotherhood of man on Urantia is to affect the spiritual transformation of present-day humanity. The only technique for accelerating the natural trend of social evolution is that of applying spiritual pressure from above, thus augmenting mortal insight while enchanting the soul capacity of every mortal to understand and love every other mortal. My eternal love and gratitude. Greetings from New Zealand, signed Wendy. Thank you, Wendy. Very nice to say that to Michael and Sharon.
I am Sharon, speaking now. In the vision which we sent Michael of Maui, we do send such vision because we cannot give precise, detailed explanations, but only to excite your own creative attunement to the divine voice that is already implanted in you. You understand that when we sent a vision of a sphere painted with the structure of a village and painted with the brushstrokes of an artist, what would you say that would symbolize? Our work? Oh no, it is your work, your handiwork, your planet's handiwork over the many thousands of years of development. It is nearing completion before we will become closer advisors. You see, the age is change, and the primary sons have been introduced, one of which was pulled from the Narancha core, the Narancha, Urancha core of destiny guardians. These individuals are acting many times as primary sons, primary teachers, laying foundation for the introduction of beings such as I. First laid are the structures that interface with your race, with your people, with your planet. You see, we appreciate the handiwork that was done already. And yes, much of the confusion is moving away because greater light is coming forward, some of which is explained through these primary sons who come forward before the higher order teachers. Each higher order teacher has many of these sons, primary sons, who have been educated by and have spent time with them and with Michael of Maui, spent time with us. In so doing, as a primary son, they will help to introduce a more perfect age of greater development, of harnessing the full wisdom and bringing forth a newer and more wonderful creation of your own, but with great embellishment by the introduction of true concepts from the teacher sons. The struggle remains. Planetary, cultural differences and many challenges remain out there. Yet, these past difficulties are remembered by your races, your cultures, and shared. Some of the words are said, we learn, we remember that these things should never happen again. We do these things that they should never happen again. These are words of wise historians, guardians of a legacy that will promote the structure of a greater and more perfect era which has opened. The gateway opened, active and alive. Through these primary suns are for the introduction of greater light, greater understanding, and most importantly, higher love. You see, love that you know is destined to become even higher, even more powerful, one that transcends the mechanics and manipulative techniques of the financiers of your planetary control system. Such individuals are quickly losing. Therefore, the stage is set for the greater learning. The greater divine presences that call upon the planet at such a time places upon the consciousness a type of pressure. That pressure motivates an individual to search out truth, to find beyond the simple, the greater truth. And in such leading, this pressure that we send, pressure that we also feel, this Holy Spirit pressure drives each one to seek out counsel. And by so doing, we'll find through your modern age, even the words I speak now, that you may hide no more in darkness. You will hear and hear the light. You will hear the truth. You would understand. This is the pressure that is placed upon your heart, your inner man, your divinity within, linking together your actual divine embrace. This pressure is an embrace and one that you can physically do one to another, but one in which is done from the divine source finds itself that you will be in the arms of divinity's embrace and pressure. By so doing, you will relax, you will have greater love and tolerance one for another, and all because you allow the embrace to happen. This is now the time of such, because your planet has become civilized, a village, a global village. The barriers that are set up and borders that are set up many times reflect only the need for financial sovereignties and economies that function under the orchestration of the planetary concepts that were drawn up by the fallen ones. The plan has failed. Yet, with this, they have quickly allowed for the elevation of civilization, but one in which the disease which impregnates it and causes difficulty to become evident and will be erased. And again I say, the words that are there in society, we remember these things, that they can never be done again. This is the foundation which we will build. The Danos will come, but the primaries do much right now. Right now, light shines into darkness, but it's been prepared that darkness should be able to begin to understand. An earlier age, light would shine into darkness, and because of the maturity or the level and not been prepared to receive light, darkness could not understand. The planet is on a sunrise to a new and more wonderful age. Yes. There are many terrible things, but soon these terrible instruments of destruction will become pointless. I saw Sharun conclude my statement now.
Thank you, Sharon. And Michael, I'm almost surprised he said that our planet was civilized.
I think that when it comes down to that idea of civilization, it cannot progress beyond a certain level because it goes through, you know, the development of, you know, like an empire or something, and they fall and come, grows back. And we look back at civilizations that grew and failed, grew and failed, grew and failed. Well, all of them, you might say, were patterns that were not ready, were not sustainable. And apparently, what is being looked at is by the celestial guardians, the guardians of destiny. They are not looking at the same thing CNN or any of these news guys or even ourselves who kind of try to look and probe and see what is the destabilizing factors in this planet. They're looking at other things. And they're seeing that perhaps is the kind of civilization that will be able to be developed towards sustainability, not this rise and fall of, you know, empires and stuff. Because one of the things is that we're looking toward a new and living way of creating a, you know, a sustainable civilization, one in which is aware of its position throughout the globe, throughout our planet. And it's getting there. It's surprising the words that come out of the mouth of, you know, like, let's say, Russian president, you know, or Islamic people, Iran, its leaders, they mention things that tell me that this is a very ready planet for higher enlightenment, the realization that we are not the only civilization out there. There are higher ones. And we're not to be a blueprint, I mean, a rubber stamp of another civilization. You know, our planet is all about. And because of Christ Michael's bestowal on planet Rancha, many of the patterns for development are not being used that normally happen on a developmental planet, and one in which has been following a more structured development. I guess that's one of the reasons that we look at it as being full of problems. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah, Sharon almost made it sound like we are civilized. I mean,
we are.
We call ourselves civilized, but my gosh.
Civilized and ready to start learning. And the new adjustments to become brought forth. It takes time, you know, because the many mistakes, at least, that were made, as he pointed out, was that this concept that is going, you know, planet Y, whatever it may be, that we want to remember, and those things which we want to remember, is so that we don't do those crazy things. One of them includes making stupid wars, you know, that really are just ploys by the financiers to make sure that their power stays in place. Yeah. One of the things that is being protected heavily right now is that the fiat concept of currency, that is backed up by some of its governments and their powers, and but overall, this is going to go through change.
I'm surprised, Sharon, seeing us from the outside, that would think that we were civilized with all these wars.
Mm-hmm. But it's part of wars are in part, you know, when you look at the idea of unifying a planet, and you know, sometimes you got to take it by force, and that is war, you know. Overall, You know, you don't want to have to go that far. One of the ones that he looked at was this idea of one of the greatest conquerors of all time, Genghis Khan, Kublai Khan's son. The idea that they almost had the world conquered, but something changed his mind and he turned back. And that was in the, moving into Europe. He had conquered everything. Then you look at Alexander the Great, he conquered just about everything. But the idea of unifying by war almost happened. And it wasn't meant to be. It was turned back, this mysterious turning back. Why? To put our planet's development on the path that it has gone. One that wouldn't by force be unified, but rather by disagreements bringing out cultural wisdom and cultural memory that can build forward a civilization of great peace with understanding and wisdom, having lived in terms of having made errors. Recently, the Japanese remembered the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
On the 8th?
Yeah. So those things were like the only country, the only people that got blown up by nuclear weapons. And there's a lot of realization that we don't want that to happen. And it's not forgotten. That's one example. I don't know why Japan seems to have these examples, like now with this other kind of threat, like a nuclear, you know, reactor failure and all this. You don't, you know, we gotta, don't want it to happen, so we gotta go a different direction than that.
Well, I hear there's 91 reactors leaking around the world.
Yeah, well, you got one up the river. Yeah, you don't know if that one's not leaking.
Well, you mean the one over in, well, we have one over north of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
They take water out of the Delaware right here, just a short distance upriver. And I can see divers there, five or six times a year cleaning out the inlet yeah. pipe to yeah. cool that reactor, and it's being cooled from more than just one river, but this is the furthest river from it. But there's lots of reactors around the country, around the world, and Japan wants to get away from them. So does Germany, but so far there's not much of an alternative. Maybe Tesla's way of getting electricity from the Earth will come about soon. It's time. It's time we get away from these nuclear reactors, and from what I understand, the Celestials think this is the wrong way to go. That's what Tesla thought. Do not split the atom.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we did. And continue to do, and sometimes for a destructive means, and some of those weapons or some of those munitions have depleted uranium. What an awful way of getting depleted uranium out of this country. These wars are pointless, and they're more abundant than ever in the American history. We have more wars going on now than ever. And what for? It's not a positive. So when Sharon says we're a civilization, it just doesn't sound like the civilization that is the ideal situation.
No, it's not that, definitely.
Definitely but not I think, the ideal situation.
Yeah, but I think that when you got to, you know, if we were to get struck and then everything gets like thrown back into the Stone Age or even to the horse and buggy age, how could our planet work? It would ultimately start to have to be built up again. So rather than go through all that rebuilding, they're looking at other factors that will make such a move not necessary. And the factors are having a willing heart. You know, it's like the old statement is like, when the student is ready, then the teacher appears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like that happening right now. I think we are kind of all saying, I don't think we know what we're doing. You know, is there better answers out there? Is there better technologies out there? You know, is our planet truly a gigantic magneto with generating a lot of free energy in relation to the sun's free energy and the dynamics of all these kinds of, you know, currents? One of the things about energies was that Frondelanks, these living machines that are really not generating any electricity or any generating any kind of energy, that they more are harnessing it and regulating energies that already exist and currents that are already flowing, and we just haven't been able to harness them using that kind of technology, which is absolutely clean. You know, I remember the energies they were speaking about. I asked, is it electricity? And they said, some. Oh, what other energies is that? There's a runs thing that keeps your lights on, you know, and of course there was no light bulbs or any source of, it was all part of these currents of energy, and we were beginning to understand these currents of energy and the different states of even matter. When we look at plasma, as you know, we got it as a real state, and yet a Marantial state is a type of controlled plasma, and one in which we have very little experience with. Most of the plasma, electrical discharge type plasma, is pointing us toward the fact that the universe and the space, which is not empty, which celestials told me, you know, point blank, that I was dead wrong in thinking that space was empty, a vacuum of space, and that these currents, these energies flow throughout. But we just haven't gotten the ability right now, installed capacity to power our planet efficiently. Not yet. I believe there were at one time installed, but were removed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, removed for...
Because the
installing
planet...
Installing a meter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well... Yeah, well, they never were installed. The Tesla's idea of using this, his frequency that he uses, was for that wireless distribution of, you know, energy and lighting up the home, was much higher in frequency than was much closer to radio frequency. you know, and brought forth a type of propagation which was not the same as, you know, like pulsing out energy on a string, you know, waving at one end and watch it propagate down the end of the string, or like a your rubber hose where you kind of fling it and then the energy goes propagating down the hose. He didn't use that concept. It was almost as if he was able to get that energy there using scalar energy, mm-hmm. which would be like the energy is already there. You just have to redisturb it with a sympathetic sympathy, a vibrational sympathy. And that's something that is not fully understood yet, but something that exists.
Well, we can see that that very slight magnetic energy the Earth has when you have that little compass in your hand and the needle hardly weighs a thing, sitting on that pin, and it can rotate or it can swivel toward the direction of the magnetic energy. I mean, that little tiny needle hardly weighs a thing compared to the Earth, and the Earth just has that magnetism and that energy in it.
Yeah, we're actually spinning magneto, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been those who hope to be able to harness it using the logic that we already know, induction. But it didn't quite work. One of the things that they were looking at also was a tether. Remember that tether they had miles and miles of stuff in space?
I forget how long it was, but I remember that tether.
And it just got so much energy, it just blew up.
Just blew up. So in other words, it worked great.
Yeah, it worked too well, you know.
Well, many times they're experimenting with something, and when there's a huge explosion, they go, "Hooray, it works!"
Yeah, just make sure when it's. I can imagine the first steam engines. You know, I remember reading the Urantia book concerning some of the education for the natural human culture here to use steam,
mm-hmm.
and they were so afraid of steam because, you know, I guess they might have made enclosed containers and things blew up.
And the things blew up because their containers just weren't strong enough.
Yeah, so they just said, forget this, you know, just give me a horse and a buggy, you know,
Yeah, horses are real reliable.
And I'm thinking about it. The Urantia book also talks about passenger birds a long time ago. And, you know, when I went down to Bali, down there, and look at Garuda, the Garuda was this, you know, symbol, ancient symbol, a passenger bird.
Always
they show this with a person riding it, a little queen or princess riding
like
this bird. Yeah, like a horse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's so well known as far as a legendary bird that the airline has a name, Garuda Airlines, you know, for that type of bird, or, you know, passenger bird. So then it was interesting to note that that passenger birds were mentioned in the Urantia book. Mm. You know, so much like our horses, you know, that still run around today. But our horses are, you know, have a weakness. They get scared, you know. And
And they can run in the wrong way.
Yeah, they just panic, you know. So that's.
Well, my my mother had this picture of her father, which is my grandfather, his horse and buggy, and she said that sometimes he would just fall asleep at the wheel. You know, just fall asleep and the horse would just continue walking until he got home. So horses are good in that way.
Yeah, great autopilot. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Just take you right home and just stop when you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's I'm getting blown up and going back to the horse and buggy age. Well, yes and no. I think there's something that is to come in terms of enlightenment, in terms of pruning the tree back, you know, to become more productive. Yeah, the vineyard, you know.
Well, that's what's terrible about these wars. We're not being productive. We're just destroying and rebuilding just for
money. Well, yeah, it's all to back up this idea of fiat currency. You know, you got to have something in there, you know, just in case. And you always want to make sure everybody's afraid in it, you know, because without it, then who wants to use your money, you know? Mm-hmm. But the idea of free trade, the idea of global trade, and that's something that will come to pass. It will happen in a way that will slowly degrade in terms of the money exchanges. These things will take many different forms, and I was shown some of the ideas that the Celestials have implanted, but they don't want us to necessarily use only those. But the idea of having a more philanthropic kind of good for the companies would be more not prone to be geared only for profit. So there'll be many more that are sort of giving purpose to people's lives, because they won't necessarily only be geared for profit. And government itself will go through great change too.
Well, Sharon talked about, or just today, he spoke about the foundation which we, I guess he was talking about our civilization, which we are building. And building and going forward is so important.
Yeah. There have been structures that have come into our society that have changed the structure of civilization. And our most recent one was, the internet. Its maturity, its, you know, progress throughout. And this is something that is really not going to stop.
That's good.
Yeah. Communication is, once tasted of, will continue, and people will just expect it to continue, you know. And this is something that we absolutely need to protect.
Well, the libraries are going out of existence, and the card file. It's always good to have a big library close by where you can do some research and work, but now you can be anywhere. As long as you're connected to the internet, you have everything at your fingertips. Better than the library.
Yeah, that's
it's just grown so quickly. I mean, for the people who have been around before the internet, it's a huge advancement. And it didn't take long until the internet was just full of information.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at this, and I'm trying to imagine what the Sharuns have in store in terms, or even the Danos, in terms of what enlightenment we'll be gaining, you know, what globally. But one of the interesting things that was noted on an email that I received was concerning the number of UFO sightings. You know, Paul sent this in, and it talks about, do you have time to read it?
Yes.
Well, I can read it, man. I got it in front of me.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, worldwide rash of UFOs, say Colonel. Okay, well, that's the title. This was written by Kerry Cassidy. This is according to a colonel stationed somewhere in Arizona, there have been a sudden influx of craft in the hundreds in low Earth orbit in the upper atmosphere sighted worldwide. No further intel on the shapes or sizes of the craft, however, my source is referring to them as visitors coming from outside of this planet. In other words, not coming from inner Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this sudden escalation in visitors is driving the military crazy. All systems are on alert. Another source reports multiple new races have been spotted visiting surface Earth lately, and some say the northern hemisphere is being visited by a race very much like the Nordics in appearance. Still, another source is talking about a race coming into Africa. It's got a quotation mark. So see my previous post TV series. And it says, are Asiatic in appearance, though humanoid. This contradicts the other source info indicating that highly educated black Africans coming from a barren system are how they are appearing, seeing crossing over borders in South Africa. Well, one of the things that happened to me a while back was it absolutely stunning, clear vision. Actually a clear dream, in which was very lucid, and showed an ever-increasing number of UFOs that would be coming before a lot of the introduction of the higher knowledge. When we are already at a point where most of the people on the planet believe that there is life off planet, whether it's highly civilized or not, having higher technologies or not, not sure. However, according to my dream, was there would come an ever-increasing escalation of these sightings, and coming to a crescendo to a point where all the world would know, hey, we're not alone. Look at this. Look at this. And I think this is a very important observation that has been made, and how long it can be kept hidden, I don't know. But ultimately, their goal, the goal of the Celestials, the goal of our off-planet brotherhood, various parts of the United System of not only the Satania system, but the domain of Narsheshek, the higher area, higher, the larger unified, I guess, brotherhood of the galaxy, are going to be coming in waves, not just waves, but ever increasing amounts. New Jerusalem becoming a very important way station, and this will bring about greater and greater observable interactions between extraterrestrial craft, if you could call them craft. Some of them are actual living space. They kind of can live in a domain outside of our, but very close to our atmosphere. But these groups are going to be coming in bigger and bigger numbers. And it's being confirmed right now. Many things are coming to pass. So that's an interesting email that came from Paul, forwarding this one from Kerry Cassidy.
Yeah, I've communicated with her. You know, when I gave that little talk at the Hamilton Library, and I'm showing, you know, these are people tuned into UFOs, and they've been in the subject matter for years, I'll say, just decades or whatever. But then I showed them the luminous object out near Saturn, and the NASA picture and the NASA link, and not one person there knew of it.
Yeah.
So if they don't know of it, and the news media doesn't talk about it, but oh, they're still looking for aliens, but if they have a big telescope and up on top of a mountain like Haleakala, and if they point it in that direction, they could see it if it's not hiding behind
a moon. Yeah.
Which they could easily be hiding up behind a moon most of the time. I don't know. I don't have a telescope like that.
I definitely have the feeling that they're not hiding.
They're not hiding anymore.
Yeah.
They're not hiding anymore. Remember Stan on hour 8?
Yeah.
When he calls in and says, you know, you talk about this architectural world, and in the Urantia book it talks about architectural worlds in other systems, but not in our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there it is.
Yeah.
And so glad to have Sharon come on. Thank you, Sharon. That was wonderful. Always always wonderful when you join Michael and coming on the recording. And I've been putting this book, or I'm sharing my book with everyone, this Can a Man Live Forever? And I am putting on a chapter a week. But tomorrow I won't be able to load that chapter because of my computer, but I will load it as soon as possible. And continue talking about that a little bit as it goes along. But this was another interesting hour, and I liked how Sharon said, you know, all the positive things on our planet just to get out with even a light rain. And nature is just what we need so badly. I think when we get away from nature, we just fall into a trap in a way. But hope everyone out there is living near nature. And Wendy in New Zealand, that's a different kind of nature out there. But this is a beautiful planet, and let's keep it that way and get rid of these wars, and everyone start moving forward and working together. So, Michael, let's say aloha, and do this again next week.
Yeah, okay. Aloha.
Aloha, and people send in some comments or things for Sharon and Michael. Okay, aloha, Michael.
Aloha.
See you.